Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
One day closer to Bills and Ravens this Sunday, 6:30 kickoff. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. This game could be played today. I'm ready. I'm ready, Josh. I'm about done with like the waiting. Like yeah. The idea that we're going to have two playoff games on Saturday before the Bills play. I'm just like, come on.
I mean, how locked into the Texans-Chiefs games are you going to be?
I mean, I'm going to be completely locked in because it's playoff football.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a good chance if Houston looks as bad as they did against the Chargers, then I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go get lunch.
That was, like, the most frustrating part about it is, like, Houston was, like, not great, but L.A. was just that much worse, where it was like, you know, going into this, I felt great that if L.A. won, they could go to Kansas City and, like, at least put up a fight and maybe beat them. But then after that game, I'm like, I don't want either of these teams to go to Kansas City. I would, like, nothing more than having neither of them go there and, like, Baltimore goes there.
Yeah, the only bonus is that the Chiefs have had arguably too much rest because now you're getting into the
you're in, like, a month for Patrick Mahomes.
I think it's been, like, 21 days.
Yeah.
But it does become that rust-rest argument of, like, has it been too long? Like, should they have played a little bit against Denver
right. With
this upcoming now? And we're going to find out. I like a lot of the defensive pieces for Houston. I don't think they'll be able to do enough, though, to beat them, especially in Arrowhead.
I mean, I wonder how much the defense is going to come into play for the Texans just because of the fact that the Chiefs have not had perfect ball security like they normally do in recent years. So I'm not saying Mahomes is going to go throw four interceptions or anything like that, but one or two might be costly in terms of where they are on the field and how close the score is and everything like that. So even though Houston's offense isn't as good as Kansas City's or anyone else for that matter, I still think that their defense could really change the game for them and not necessarily score points, but put them in a very good position to easily score points. Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready for these games to get going.
Yeah, I'm
absolutely ready for these games to get going. Because we're waiting constantly, and like the talking points, like none of them are changing. Like even Zay Flowers, who missed yesterday's practice. Harbaugh started off the week, though, going like, I mean, he doesn't have to practice at all this week to play in the game. Yeah. So, like, even then, you can't totally take, like, the injury reports, like, for what they are, because you're like, well, Harbaugh already set up kind of the idea that he probably won't practice at all this week. And then for the Bills, like, cool, like, their injury reports came in. You kind of assumed nobody was, like, in dire straits. Codrington was a full participant. Al Ganderson limited. Like, so they're starting, like, the feel, and now it's just it's the waiting game. It's just to get to Sunday.
Well, the thing I was thinking about this morning with Zay Flowers specifically is the weather. Like, the weather on Sunday, and Patrick Hamer from WGRZ tweeted this out this morning, that it's basically going to be the New England game from 3 years ago, the perfect game.
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be cold, and it's going to be just not great to be outdoors in that weather. But, hey, we love it. That's why we live here.
It makes it easier to kind of like root for that or at least be okay with it, knowing that when it was that cold, the offense didn't go away. They've had multiple games, of course, also being the perfect game where, you know, they've lit teams up. Mm-hmm. The passing attack has not gone away.
Well, right. So I'm thinking – you're thinking about that game too, obviously, because it's an identical forecast. But then I also can't help but think about the Bengals game, the Bengals playoff game from a couple years ago. And That one was different, obviously, because it wasn't as cold, but it was a lot more snow, and the snow was, you know, that wet, heavy lake effect that caused a lot of footing problems. We saw the Bills had a lot of, and even the Bengals, too, had some problems being able
The Bills more than anybody. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, for sure. But so that in mind, if Zay Flowers is hurt with a knee injury, and again, I don't know if the snow is going to, you never know what the snow is going to be like till you're out there, but if the field is similar to what it was in the Bengals game, is that going to affect his game status? Because obviously you don't want the guy to get any more hurt than he already is, because if you do win the game, you want him for the championship game and potentially the Super Bowl.
Of course, yeah.
But at the same time, you might want your best wide receiver on the field against a really good defense. So it's kind of this waiting game, I think, because the forecast doesn't look like it's going to change. You don't really know what Zay Flowers is doing because he's been out of practice. So I really wonder just how he specifically can be ready for this and how the Ravens as a whole can be ready for a game like this, because most of these guys also have not played in weather like this before.
That Bengals game was a disaster. 27-10 Bengals. They took a 14-0 lead in the first quarter. The leading rusher for the Bills in terms of attempts was Allen with 8. He threw the ball 42 times. They were chasing the entire game. Burrow threw the ball 36 times. I do remember it was a lot of short passes, and they were kind of just like matriculating down the field. Joe Mixon, 20 rushing attempts for 105 yards and a touchdown. Just a really bad game all around for the Bills.
I remember very
it
early on.
It wasn't cold. I mean, it was 32 degrees.
Yeah. But that was the problem, I think. Yeah. And that's why, like, the more I've thought about it this morning, I don't think the Bengals game is going to be similar to what this game will be because of how much colder it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder, though, still, even with conditions like this, the field is going to be basically frozen. And once again, do you want an injured player playing on a weird field, a field that's not as forgiving and not
I mean, you saw yesterday for the Ravens, they had to move practice inside due to their field being frozen.
Yep.
And so
the Bills also practiced inside.
Well, yesterday. But it's going to be it's one of those things, though. I don't think the weather's going to necessarily play too much of a factor. This is not like a team like Miami or one of the LA teams or San Francisco. It's a team like Baltimore who also deals with cold weather. I know there's been a lot of jokes too about Lamar Jackson, how basically it'll be 50 degrees and he's got to wear like some sort of like thermal gear underneath. I get it. It's fun, but like with both these teams having really good running games, maybe more than anybody else, Baltimore having a really good running game, the weather just won't, I think, matter too much. And that's where, like, stopping Henry, I think, becomes so paramount to how the game will go. And so it does become the idea of, like, what is actually a successful day against Derrick Henry? What is, hey, you won.
Right.
And that's the thing. You could still lose the game. We're not saying that necessarily you beat Derrick Henry, you're going to win. They have Lamar Jackson, who will likely win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But what is a successful day in stopping Derrick Henry? And I think giving yourself the best chance to win the game. For me personally, it really is just 120 yards, a touchdown is probably pretty good. Honestly, though, if you hold them under 20 attempts, you likely were having them chase the entire game.
Yeah,
that, you likely put them in a spot where Jackson's throwing the ball 30-plus times a game, or 30-plus times
which,
a game.
Which, to be fair, this season he's not really accustomed to that. There's been games, sure, where he's had to do that, but for the recent games, Lamar Jackson has not had to throw over even 25 times. So I think that is kind of the key stat that I'd be looking at, too. Yes, yardage and touchdowns obviously matter, but like you said, if you have him under 20 attempts, it's going to drastically change how they're playing the game. And that means that you're winning the sort of mental game of like the offensive game plan versus defensive game plan and everything like that. So, but that question in general, I put it up on my Twitter. If you want to go respond there, if you want to give us a call, 803-0550, you can do that as well. But we do have some comments coming in. Zach tweets in, anything under 100 yards is a win, I'd say. And I think that's right. I think that would be like, obviously, like you'd have to have a really good day, but he's been held under 100 yards 7 times this season, I think. So it's not impossible. It's doable.
It's very doable. Absolutely. It just doesn't happen very often.
Right.
I look at some of the games where he didn't have over 20 carries. I think it's probably the big one for me. Kansas City, they lose that game. He has 13 carries. To be fair, you could argue they were sort of trying to figure that out. Vegas, again, they also lose. He has 18 carries. Cincinnati, a game they win, but in a shootout he has 15.
What's his yardage in the Cincinnati game?
92 yards. Hmm. So he's about six yards per rush.
Yeah, okay.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's also the thing, too, is like how many yards per attempt is like good enough for you? And like for me, I think like at most you have to neutralize him from getting a first down every single run.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything under 10 yards per carry is kind of ideal for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that might seem like a lot to ask, especially against Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But I do think that the Bills' defense is much more suited for it this time than they were in week 4.
Yeah. He also had 11 rushing attempts against Cleveland in their loss, 29-24. He did put up, though, 73 yards. Again, it's a game, though, where you make Jackson throw 38 times. I think a big part of that, too, is their receivers aren't the best. They're not bad by any means. Flowers, Bateman, Andrews, and Likely as well. Like, they're good. But when you start moving away from what the Ravens do best, that, I think, is where it becomes a big problem for them. And I think that's going to be ultimately the task, is to just limit how many times they're giving him the ball. In their losses, it's when he doesn't have the ball 20-plus times. They've won games where he doesn't have to. The Giants game, he had 14 rushing attempts. In that game, they kind of let Jackson let it fly. And they were scoring quickly, so there really was no point to it. That game was out of reach fairly soon. Philadelphia, 19-82. They lose that game 24-19. For me, it's all about score early. Score early and move them out of their comfort zone.
And that really does show you like what it means to keep him under 20 rushing attempts, because like all those games right there, either close wins or losses.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, when they lose 18-16, he has 13 rushing attempts. Cincinnati, in a game they win by 1 point, he has 16 rushing attempts, 68 yards.
Wow.
I think that's your game plan. It's just do not let them just give him the ball over and over and over and over again. And to that point, Jared tweets in, stuffing him on first and second downs, limiting big runs of 10-plus yards. If you make them into a second and long team, a third and long team, and I know third down defense is a struggle. They were 2-for-9 on third downs, though, against Denver. That at least is a good sign. But if you get them into second and long, third and long, and they have to go away from Henry, they're not – you know, second and three type situations where they can kind of do whatever they want. They can go to that option play. They can keep giving it to Henry. You're setting yourself up better. It's not like the Ravens are perfect. They do have 5 losses. They have lost games. I think the Bills are better in terms of, I think it's points per drive. So, I mean, that's the thing. And that's where I would argue the Bills' offense is maybe more dangerous than the Ravens
it's
the efficiency, but there's different avenues that they can go. Mm-hmm. There's games where James Cook has completely annihilated teams and you could really lean on the run, especially with the offensive line. There are other games, though, where Allen just kind of takes over and you're going to Shakir, you're going to Cooper,
you're going to
Samuel,
Allen,
to Coleman. Yeah, and Allen's kind of just doing everything. With my only issue is I don't know if the Bills have the capabilities on defense to force them to not run the ball. That is my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want you to do. They want to force you into running the ball and kind of moving down the field that way, so that when you get a penalty, you get a false start, whatever, you move back, they can kind of take advantage. That's where the turnovers come in and such. They're forcing you to be perfect for a 15-play drive.
Yeah.
Which is very, very hard to do.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I think that's something else that kind of got underrated throughout this entire week in the conversation is not taking penalties, is being smart in terms of, you know, doing your job and just not going too far outside the lines, mm-hmm. right? Like, not that the Bills have had massive issues with that all season, but this is a type of game where you really can't have any of those issues, right? Like, this is a game where even one or two defensive or either one or two penalty flags
mm-hmm.
can change the course of the game. I mean, if you get a big stop on third down and all of a sudden you see a flag fly for some extracurriculars after the whistle, like, not to say that the Bills do that often, but it's a high-intensity game. It's I don't want to say rival, because they don't have that big of a rivalry, but both teams are hungry for more and are frustrated that they haven't gotten past Kansas City. So, like, you kind of wonder, like, how much things like that play into it, too, in terms of just being smart on the field along with sticking to your game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big tide turner that we've seen game in and game out for every single team in the NFL this year.
I just get I get worried with the Bills' defense. That and this is where it all comes up to matchups. Nate Geary yesterday with Bulldog was talking about how it's kind of like this vicious cycle for the AFC playoffs where, like, Baltimore does not match up well against Kansas City. Kansas City matches up well against Baltimore. Buffalo doesn't match up well against Baltimore. Baltimore matches up well against Buffalo. And Buffalo matches up well against Kansas City. And Kansas City does not match up well against Buffalo.
Yeah.
And you're in this awful vicious cycle of, like, no one's actually playing the team they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, as Bills fans, we were sitting there going, I really hope Kansas City loses out of the one. Yes, you get the one seed, you get the bye, you'll get the lowest team available. But then that also meant you're not playing Baltimore until at latest the AFC Championship game,
yeah,
which is your worst matchup. And you'd likely have to see Kansas City go up against Baltimore, and Kansas City matches up better against them. It's this vicious cycle. And that's my fear, is that for the most part, their strategy has worked. But against a team like, I would say, a Baltimore, I'd say like a Philadelphia as well. If you got to a Super Bowl against them, it doesn't match up well. They have to get out to an early lead. I think that's ultimately what it is. You have to get out to an early lead. I'm not saying take the ball on the opening kickoff if you win the coin toss. I am saying, though, in that first drive, you at worst have to give up a field goal. You can't give up a touchdown. You can't put it to it's 0-0 after two drives. I've said it a lot this week. It feels like the first quarter for this game is going to play massively into how the rest of this game is played for both teams. If the Bills, we just looked at it, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. If the Bills jumped out to a 14-0 lead, number one, we're all losing our minds. Collectively, we are losing our gourd.
There's so many different things happening, and it's all happening all at once.
Yeah. But if that happens, it changes how Baltimore's allowed to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen this team. Todd Monken's getting head coaching interviews, and I think rightfully so. But you saw last year against the Chiefs, even before anything happened, they decided they wanted to throw the ball more. Now, they didn't have Derrick Henry, but they, on a whim, decided, well, this is how we're going to win today.
Right. After having it work all season long, yeah, they just completely changed their game plan, which is just it's mind-boggling still to see that.
But if you put them in a position where, damn, we got to do it anyways. We have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for you. Especially, they're on the road. They're in a silent count. They are the second most penalized team in football. You put them in a bad spot. I think even if it's just 7-0, and maybe their first drive doesn't go perfectly, and it's not an immediate like run down and score, because I'm not saying the Bills are going to definitively win the coin toss. They may not.
Right. Yeah.
But even if it's not a perfect drive for them, and they have to punt it, whatever, and the Bills go out and score, boom. I think it changes for them. They're on the road. It's a silent count. You are penalized a lot. And you are a team that is built through the run, getting it done with Henry and Jackson. I think it changes how everything is going to be for them. That's easier said than done, though.
It's right.
Way easier said than done. Their defense has been very good over the last month and a half.
Yeah. And I think, too, speaking on that offensive line point there, like, something I also was thinking about with that whole thing of how they've been penalized a lot and had all these issues this year, it kind of shows you like the stark contrast between the Bills' offensive line and other teams and where they're at with their offensive line. Like, yes, their offensive line is good, but it's not like good together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they have good pieces. They have pieces that can open up Derrick Henry, open up Lamar Jackson, but they're not consistently good. They're not always perfectly in sync. So if you can exploit that with your defensive tackles, with your edge rushers, even with like linebackers coming in on a blitz or cornerbacks coming in on a blitz, that, I think, is an underrated part of this game plan, is mm-hmm. the fact that you can pick apart that offensive line and just kind of break things down and just get pressure on these guys. Make Derrick Henry go horizontal instead of vertical. Make Lamar Jackson rush on some of these plays, like in terms of not running, but in terms of making up his mind a lot faster than he normally has to, because he's a guy that can extend plays. But if you can break down that pocket quickly and effectively, because this offensive line might not be as mm-hmm. good, then that's another way that they can easily get through these guys, not necessarily by getting a sack or getting a tackle in the backfield, but just by making them uncomfortable, right? Like putting it in their heads early on that you are going to be making their day uncomfortable all game long.
Yeah, and that's where, like, looking back at the Pittsburgh game and why, like I mentioned with Sal yesterday, where it's just, like, it's tough for me to take anything from that. Pittsburgh didn't want to play. You're talking with Nate Geary yesterday, too. It was the same thing. As like, you know, Pittsburgh had no desire to be in that game. And you could tell, even on those read option plays, how fast they would bite on the running back and just let Jackson kind of do whatever he wanted. I mean, that's kind of what it got to. They didn't want to be there. I'm not saying like now like that's it's going to make the difference here, but it's just I've looked at the teams they've beat up in these last few weeks to get here. It's a lot of bad teams. I don't want to say it's inflated their stats. The Bills have played bad teams as well, and they haven't necessarily blown them away. The first New England game this year was kind of a tough like, all right, guys, are you okay? Right, okay, we're fine. It's like to your point, making him uncomfortable. Is that where you get the bad Lamar Jackson playoff game? Where if the first drive or two don't go well, does he all of a sudden start pressing? Does he get real tight?
Does he tense up?
Does it become that, oh no, here we go again. I've got to push. I've got to make a play. And that's where the defense that has the best turnover differential in the sport this year gets one or two, whether it be a fumble, an interception, anything like that. I don't know, because a lot of this year, too, has also been Allen and Lamar being better at that aspect. Lamar was never a big turnover guy. Allen was. But now 4 interceptions to 41 touchdown passes? It's a hell of a season. Allen, only 6 this year. That's a career high for Aaron, or career low for him. And so that's kind of become my big thing is, like, I don't think the Bills match up well, but I feel good about them. I guess it's one of those things where I do think Allen is an ultimate equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to – I don't want to say you got to hope, but the longer this week has gone on, I'm excited for the game. I think they can win. I'm not saying necessarily they will. We'll pick the game later.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think you are going to – like to our point yesterday, what do you think is more likely, a Sean McDermott blunder or a Lamar Jackson bad playoff game? I think you need to hope that that comes back.
Well,
I think he's not playing well and you don't even need to worry about a blunder because it's like a 10-point game.
I don't really think both can happen. I think one – activates the other. If Sean McDermott has a great game coaching-wise and a great defensive scheme built up with Bobby Babich, that will activate, potentially, like you were just saying, it'll activate or could activate a Lamar Jackson bad playoff performance.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, if Lamar Jackson's having a day and McDermott has to kind of think on the fly here and make big changes and it doesn't work out, then it's the opposite. I don't think both of those things can happen. I know we kind of joked about that a little bit yesterday of them going back and forth, but
it'd be so much fun.
But I really do think that if you have a good game plan for this, you can kind of bring out bad playoff Lamar.
Mm.
That can be brought out just by your defensive game plan. I don't think that's been that in the past. I think in the past it's kind of been him as a younger player not really having that playoff experience. But now he's been here for this long. He's been in all these games. He's made all these mistakes. I think you have to find a way to start making him make mistakes. And one of those things, like I was saying, is kind of blow up that offensive line and just put pressure on him. Don't even have to hit him. Just put pressure on him, make him run around, make him – and I know him running around is pretty dangerous. But again, if you keep him and Henry horizontal instead of vertical, I think that's going to make a huge difference.
It could. My only issue is – the defensive line we've had issues with at times.
Oh, I know.
Von Miller's popped off. He only played 9 snaps the last time that happened. I get it. But it is also one of those things of just they haven't been that unit that necessarily does it. And against a guy like Jackson, you wonder if it's even going to matter.
But I think the key there, though, is they can do it because they've done it before. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily all of them firing on all cylinders on the same day. But you've seen Ed Oliver and Greg Rousseau have big days. Well, maybe Daquan Jones and Von Miller are kind of not doing as well, or AJ Epenesa comes in and gets an interception or a safety or a sack or whatever. Like, there are so many guys on that line that I think they can make up for each other having an off day or having not as good of a day. It just depends on what ones are showing up, essentially, because if it's AJ Epenesa, that's great, but then you got to get him on the field more because he's not on the field as much as these other guys. So it's kind of this delicate balance of who's going to be out there when and how can they kind of activate themselves here?
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Got to take a quick time out here. Kai, we'll get you on the other side if you want to join the show. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio will join the show in just about an hour as the Bills got back to the practice field yesterday. And an injury report looked pretty darn good for the Bills, maybe less so for the Baltimore Ravens. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hopefully very loud when they're on offense and second and third down and making it hard for them. But just the energy, the juice, the vibes, our goal is to get to the fourth quarter and have Mr. Brightside be playing. And I know the fans love that, but that gives us such a little shot of energy that, you know, we're going to need going into this game.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about this Sunday's matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. It's going to be crucial, I think, for them to be successful on first and second downs. Don't give up short third downs. A lot like the Bills were doing against Denver, where they just kind of put themselves in a spot where if it was fourth and one, they were going to go for it because it was third and two. And it was just like, you're not going to stop us two plays in a row kind of deal. And they got it going, both passing and rushing the ball. James Cook, one of his better rushing performances as a Buffalo Bill. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We start with Kai today. Kai, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing? All the way from Baltimore, I'm calling you guys. Quick things. I think Derrick Henry is going to get the ball 25 to 30 times. I don't think we'll drop the ball like we did last year in the playoffs against Kansas City, where we only ran the ball six times in the whole game to running backs. So that's over because you've seen what happened in Pittsburgh. Now, to me, Pittsburgh defense is better than Buffalo defense. Buffalo defense is a little light in the ass all over the place, from linebackers to defensive line. So I think we're going to run it down their throats until they try to stop them. But I don't think they're going to stop them. So I think that game plan will go well. As far as making Lamar throw the ball, Lamar is one of the leading quarterbacks passing in the league right now. He having one of his best seasons, throw over 4,000 yards. So I think he'll be prepared for that depending on the weather. Now, defensively, I think you guys have receivers that – the little twitchy guys that you catch the ball and get yak yards. But other than that, you really don't have anything. You don't scare anybody with that offensive other than Josh Allen. And I think we'll have a spy with him with Roquan. So I think they're going to contain him, and they know how Josh plays. Josh is a warrior. So, but if you can limit Josh Allen – from outside the pocket, and then we got Madubuike coming up the middle with that push. So I like our chances. I'm not diminishing with Buffalo. Buffalo is a good team. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's a great team, and we all fighting to get that bit. It feel like to get Kansas City, and it seems like these two teams right here is right there at the point of getting Kansas City. But we got to get through each other. And another thing is Amari Cooper. That's my X factor for you guys. I don't know why. His name don't come up. I know Shakur and, Dalton Kincaid, those guys, Coleman came back off an injury. He can catch the ball. But it's something about Amari Cooper, man, that's not being talked about that we're going to have to watch for that fourth receiver. And he cannot that's one guy that's kind of scaring me under the radar. And I know everybody's saying Amari don't have it anymore. He's done. But you get him in the playoffs, that's a guy you need to watch. And it's as well as on the outside, Aguilar. Aguilar can be a guy that open it up. But Justice Hill is my real X factor in this game right here. Justice Hill is underrated right now. He's leading the league in touch. Well, he's having one of his best seasons, put it like that. And he can catch the ball out the backfield. So I'm hoping you guys run in that zone and try to stop Lamar and bring everybody in a box like when we played San Diego, the Chargers, in that playoff game when Lamar was running crazy his rookie year and couldn't stop him. And I think for some reason McDermott is going to – he's going to bring it. McDermott's a good defensive coach, and he's going to bring it. But they're not going to slice down and bite down on that end like Pittsburgh did and allow Lamar to do that. They're going to have somebody like Milano spying on Lamar all time. So it's going to be a lot of one-on-one matchups that dictate this game. And I think Milano and Lamar, that's going to be a good matchup as far as the spy. I know they're going to spy. But other than that, man, I'm picking high – I was picking high scoring. I don't know what the weather's going to be like up there. It's snowing right here in Baltimore right now.
It's going to be like 8 degrees. It's going to be cold. I don't necessarily know about snow, but it's going to be cold.
It's going to be really cold. So it's going to. And another thing. We cannot let James Cook get off. I'm not worried about you guys running the ball, but in space, James Cook is a guy that can catch the ball and get upfield. So it's a great matchup, man. I mean, this feel like the AFC Championship, in my opinion. This don't even feel like divisional round.
Yeah, Kai, we do have to get to other callers, but here, right? Because you're a Ravens fan. Hit me with the score prediction. What do you got?
Okay, I'm gonna go 28-24 Ravens. You guys have a good one.
Kai, thanks for the call, man. Baltimore fan there.
Yeah.
Respectful. I get it. 28-24. And if Derrick Henry has 30 carries, it's 28-24. I'm going to be upset. It's going to take a long time for me to go over that loss. If he had 30 carries, like Kai was saying in the beginning of that call, and it's 28-24, oof.
I do have to say something, and I don't want this to sound like a shot. I'm just trying to relay some stats here. Justice Hill, okay?
He's kind of like our Ty Johnson a little bit. We're like Ravens fans love him, Bills fans love Ty Johnson, but the stats don't look great.
I get that, but Justice Hill has had one rushing touchdown and three receiving touchdowns, and only a total of...
It's our Ty Johnson.
Is that really all Ty Johnson has? I thought he had more than that.
He has like two touchdowns, yeah.
Oh. All right. Never mind.
Remember,
it back.
What we said. His year with the Jets.
Listen, yeah.
Like in 2020, like, he was statistically more efficient, better, what have
you.
Yeah. But, he's had bigger plays for the Bills than he ever had for the Jets. I mean, he had a 100-yard receiving game against Detroit.
I'll take it back. I just wanted to relay the stats, but that's actually a good point. I didn't think of him as all Ty Johnson.
The offensive comments, though, I'm a little surprised by. That feels more like a... when you played us in week four kind of comment. They're the first team in NFL history to have 30 passing touchdowns, 30 rushing touchdowns. They had a streak of putting up 30-point games. Mm-hmm. They are terrifying. And a lot of it is due to the fact that Cook can get going with a great O-line. I do wonder how that battle of lines goes, the Ravens defensive line, the Bills offensive line, because they are a wagon right now. They are basically an impenetrable wall for the Bills offense to operate as they want to. Allen's been, sacked 14 times this year, which is the league low. Cook is having an incredible year rushing, and he's getting better as the year's kind of progressed. You saw it against Denver. And that's my thing, too. Denver was the third-ranked red zone defense, third-ranked rush defense, and the Bills kind of did whatever they wanted to. So I don't know about that. I like Marlon Humphrey. Surtain is better. They went away from Surtain and had no issues at all.
Yeah.
I do wonder if someone like Amari Cooper, who is one of the better pop game guys ever in the NFL, gets going against somebody like Marlon Humphrey. Maybe just for a play or two, but better than he did against Surtain. And even Surtain, again, they just kind of went away from him.
Mm.
And they just allowed Shakir to really kind of eat. Coleman had a few of his plays. Namely, they kind of went to him to just go up and get a ball. That'll be something, too. The little bit undersized corners for Baltimore. Does Keon Coleman become a matchup nightmare in the red zone? I think it's going to be an awesome matchup. The 28-24, though, a little bit lower scoring than I think some people are imagining.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably closer to where I would imagine it.
I do think it's interesting, too, how he talked about Amari Cooper, because that is a player on this team now that they didn't see in week four. And like you said, it did seem kind of like that conversation was geared towards, like, look what happened in week four. Look what could happen now.
Yeah, week four went well.
And I do think that Amari Cooper is going to play a role, but I don't know if he's going to be necessarily the X factor. I wonder how much he's going to be a part of the offense, because there's been times this season since the Bills have acquired him, he just hasn't really had to do much, but he also hasn't done much.
Like, his role at times has really kind of just been not a spy, but just another guy that a corner has to go to.
Right,
to
essentially like, hey, you got to cover this guy, because if you don't, he's going to do something against you. And if you do cover him, well, one of our other guys is open, so we'll throw it to them. Like that's kind of been, and that's like everybody eats in a nutshell, right? Like that's the whole plan, just simply put.
So. I do agree on the point, and I think it is, and this is where it gets me nervous about, do they have the ability to stop the run? I know they invite it, and that's fine against a lot of opponents, but Kai brought up a good point there. They are undersized at linebacker. That's kind of their whole thing. They're the faster defense rather than the more we're going to punch in the mouth kind of defense. Even on the defensive line with Ed Oliver, that's always kind of been his big thing, is that he is undersized. If they're able to get penetration, you might have some here, but I just –
Well, that's kind of
I keep seeing like those like 85 yard runs by Henry, and it does scare me. Like you brought up too, like if you take that run away or just shorten it, what have you, it's a better day against the rushing game than the stats would maybe tell you. But it doesn't matter if he has that 70 plus yard touchdown run, that's crippling for a defense.
And it takes the wind out of your sails.
Exactly, it takes the wind out of your sails. You saw it. Yes, the Bills were kind of making a little bit of a comeback in that game. It was 21-10 when they ultimately do the trick play. So there was a feeling that they were getting back into it.
Yeah.
But that play alone just kind of it's the first play from scrimmage from Baltimore. And it still just – it felt like it set up such a tone for that game that was hard to come back from. That's why I've said it so much. Like, you have to kind of take the run game away from him. You have to get up early. Because if you don't, it's not necessarily making Lamar a passer. He's been unbelievable this year. It is more Flowers isn't in the game. It's one less option he can go to. The Bills can kind of, you know, pin their ears back on the defensive line and rush the passer, knowing you're down 10, you're down 14, what have you, in a dream scenario here. You have to throw the ball. It's coaching malpractice to run the ball 30 times in that situation.
And I do think also, like, going back to the undersized linebackers and the speed that they have, that Milano and Bernard and even Dorian Williams, they all have that great get-after-you speed. That's where I was talking about, if you can force Derrick Henry to have to go side to side before he comes at you, that eliminates 5-6 yards right there potentially. I mean, as long as you can get to him and kind of just force him outside – it's going to make a big difference. Every time we see him have a big run, it's because he can get up the middle and he can get through everyone as quick as possible, because he's a big guy, he's very fast, and he'll just knock you over.
Yeah.
But if you can get him to the outside and force them to start running to the outside, I think that's going to be a big impact.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to join today's show. We go back to the phones. Frank in Williamsville is up next. Frank, how are we doing this morning?
I'm good. Hey, I'm looking at this. I think this is going to be it. Not so hard to win for Buffalo. We just score too many points for them. We're going to do what we always do. We're going to let them run the ball between the 20s, and then we're going to get a turnover, or they're going to hit a goalpost. I mean, how many footballs have hit goalposts this year? Do they keep track of it? It's unbelievable. But and then Josh is going to do his thing, throw for 400 yards, wind up watching the fourth quarter from the bench like he always does. And let's Trubisky in there. I mean, that's going to happen on Sunday.
Frank, I love the optimism. I have no idea. That feels even more like a dream scenario than I had up, which is where they were up a 14-0 in the first. Baltimore, I would say talent-wise, is a better team. I don't know if they're a better team in terms of cohesion, how they're playing now. I would say talent-wise, they're better. And it's nice and all to think that, you know, they'll let them run in between the 20s and then, you know, they're going to hit the uprights or they're going to get a turnover here. Baltimore doesn't turn the ball over very much. They don't, and Derrick Henry might be as equal to a red zone weapon as Allen is with his size and his speed and his strength. It's hope. It's a hope and a prayer. I think this is going to have to be a game, though, where like you do zero in on the run, that you have to stop that. You have to force Baltimore into changing up their game plan, make them nervous into what they're doing. Again, if first and second down, it's third and eight, third and seven. You're in a really good spot. Now it becomes the whole get off the field on third downs. That's been a whole other issue. Don't even get me started on that. But it looked better last week in the playoffs when you can argue they're going full bore. Like that's what this game is for.
Right, right.
And Baltimore and Denver went 2-for-9, 2-for-7, something like that. Like they did not perform all that well outside of that first drive. You made them, though, also get away from their run game. The problem is they don't have a particularly good run game. And that's where I do look at a game like Detroit defensively, where you got them immediately out of what they like to do, which was give the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery. Montgomery gets hurt later in that game, but they got back into that game technically by Goff throwing the ball like 60 times. Yeah. And you were on the road doing that. And that's where, yeah, I think the silent count comes in. The fact that they are the most penalized team in football. I think that's where you're also going to see, you know, Keon Coleman try to drop pass interferences, stuff like that to keep drives going, force a false start. I think crowd noise, I think being on the road is going to play a massive impact in how this game goes for both teams. Buffalo having the home crowd, Baltimore being on the road. And also, as I've mentioned a lot, it's hard to win road playoff games. So happens that John Harbaugh has the most road playoff wins in a career with 8.
Denver, by the way, 2 for 9, this past week.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt hanging with you here until 12 o'clock. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number one continues to roll along here. We're still so many days away from Bills Ravens. It's snowing here. It's going to be 8 degrees on Sunday. Oh, man, winter is truly here. And I'm sitting here getting, like, antsy for golf, Josh. How embarrassing.
Me too.
How
I
embarrassing.
Mean, come on. That's
snowing everywhere. It's cold. And I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait for golf season.
The Masters is 3 months away.
I know. The moment I see those commercials, I get excited. And it's like, dude, you're seeing them the first time in, like, December. Chill out. Like, you've got forever to go. You live in New York. Relax. I can't do it. I have not watched, though, was it the TGL Golf League? I have yet to watch that. I've not been able to be home and sit down and watch it. Though I have seen some of the kinks they're going to have to work out, like the TrackMan not totally working as it should. Because I saw Tiger, one of his shots where he's like 100 yards out and he just completely sails it like into the ocean.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, like, I get it. Tiger's not like Tiger anymore, but like, be serious. So I've enjoyed those. I got to get to a simulator soon, though, just for the fun of it. I do miss doing those, but I've not swung a club in a while and I'm terrified. I'm going to pull something.
That's what happened the very first time you and I played golf together.
Well, we
got through 13 holes, and Zach was like, "My back is done. We're
done.
We're gonna go home now."
Yeah, yeah. the technique was a disaster. No bueno by me. Now we're good, but I haven't swung golf club in 4 months, and I'm like, that can go really badly. 803-0550, the number to call. We're talking a lot of Bills and Ravens today, and we'll go to Jerry next. Jerry, how are we doing today?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
I've got a few comments in regards to our Buffalo Bills, and I'm disappointed in a lot of our fans. I don't really think we should fear Baltimore. I think we should respect them. Second of all, need to keep Marr in the pocket. Third and finally, need to tackle Henry low, not high. Any of his runs where he was hit, those aren't going to bring him down. Thank you for taking my call.
Jerry, thanks for calling in. A lot of that is easier said than done. And I will say respect and fear is two sides of the same coin. And it's what it is. I mean, because if you say you're respecting him, you kind of also are saying you fear them. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it is. Tackling him low instead of high, again, easier said than done. There's a reason why he's had 2,000 yards before and 1,900 yards this year. He's an unbelievable force of nature. I think the only running backs I can kind of compare him to, like, in football history is like Earl Campbell. Just in terms of size, speed, the whole package, he really is kind of a different breed entirely. Which is, I think, kind of why his first 2 years, actually, Josh, were ultimately not that good. It was teams trying to figure out, like, how to use him. And eventually they did, and then it's just been kind of, like, off to the races from there. People have had zero worries with him. You kind of just know what he's going to be. I think it's okay, though, to, like, be worried about Baltimore. The Bills don't technically match up well against them. It's not a great matchup for the Bills. It's why the one seed was arguably very important, was... Yes, you get the bye week. You also probably avoid Baltimore till at the latest the AFC Championship game, if they were to get past Kansas City. It's why it's funny, just because it's how it happened. The top three teams in the AFC all match up well against one of them. None of them are happen to be playing each other. They're playing the ones likely the team that they don't match up all that well against. Baltimore, for all great they are, they could beat Buffalo. It can be amazing for a week. They could get blown up by Kansas City because they don't match up well against them. And Kansas City is playing better football than they were for all of the beginning of the season when they played in week 2, week 1, whatever it was. And then Buffalo, if you got Kansas City, Yes, it's an Arrowhead, but you match up really well against them. But unless you get through the game that you don't match up well in, it won't matter. And that's the real fear of it, is where you're at now is just, it's like, come on, man. Like, just as like everything was going well, you're not getting the luck of the draw that you'd like. Doesn't mean you're going to lose, not by any means. Peyton Manning didn't match up well against the Patriots defenses. Eventually figured him out, and he went on to win a Super Bowl. But there's a reason why they're going to be an underdog at home. And I think the first time the Bills are going to be a road, a home playoff underdog since like the 1960s. There's a reason for it. 803-0550, the number to call. Got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get to your calls. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. You're listening to WGR.